Pastor Obi, and this great privilege to share the word of God. I always say it's not a right, it's just a privilege, and I thank God for this great privilege. Thank you, sir. I want us to give a clap offering as we appreciate the worship team. Let's worship. Let's just appreciate them. Hallelujah. I also want us to worship God as we welcome ourselves to the presence of God with a clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be sharing on Christian stewardship of tithe or in tithing. Christian stewardship in tithing. Shall we pray? Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you take over right now. Help us. We need you. Touch our hearts. Touch our minds. I surrender myself unto you, Holy Spirit. Use me, Lord, in such a manner that your word will come with clarity and with power. You will break every yoke. You will set every one of us free in this aspect. And Lord, there shall be a positive breakthrough in our lives and in Mount Zion. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God today being the first Sunday in the month of September. It's great. I just sat down there as the worship team were just singing. God kept on asking me, how much did you pay for those 24,000 to 36,000 gallons of air you breathe in per hour? See, there are a lot of things we enjoy freely from God we never paid for. And each time we should look back and see that we are living and we are existing, not in our own power, but God has given us the opportunity to be here on earth so that we'll fulfill his purpose. And I pray, based on the word of God that says, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Every one of us, we belong to him. We are made to fulfill a purpose. I pray we will not derail. We shall fulfill that purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to quickly read two passages this morning. The first one is Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I want to read verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Hallelujah. And then the other part, the second one is what we know very well. That is Malachi, the book of Malachi. And that is Malachi chapter 3. I want to read just one verse there, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, it's good to read it slowly, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. What is tithe? What is tithe? Tithe is the tenth part of your income set apart as an offering to God. Tithe is a tenth part of your income that is set apart as an offering to God. Tithing is a deep and interesting subject, and there are many questions today about tithing with diverse answers to the issue doctrinally. Some teach that tithing belongs to the Old Testament. They say, since we are not in the Old Testament, but in the New,
We are not under the law, therefore, Christians are not supposed to tithe. The early church, they say, the early church fathers or leaders place no priority or a mandatory demand for Christians to tithe. That is what they believe. However, let me make an attempt to lay the foundation on this subject on the premise that all we have and have belong to the Almighty God, the Creator. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." God gave first. God first gave. He gave us life, opportunities to walk and earn a living. And above all, he gave us the best, his only son, John 3:16, Romans 8:32. If he has given us the best, his son, what else can he withhold from us? Tithing, therefore, is one of the ways to demonstrate our appreciation to God for all he has done and given us. No man at any time has outgiven God. No one. Billy Graham once said, quote, "Life itself, every bit of health that we enjoy, every hour of liberty and free enjoyment, the ability to see, to hear, to speak, to think and imagine, all this comes from the hand of God. We show our gratitude by giving back to him a part of that which he has given to us." Unquote. We treat this subject this morning in three parts. Number one, tithing predates the Mosaic law. Number two, tithing in the Old Testament, that is, as seen in the Old Testament law. And number three, tithing in the New Testament, that is, why Christians should tithe today. Tithing predates the Mosaic law. The patriarchs, that is, Abraham and all the people that we read about in the Bible, they gave tithes. Let's begin with Abel. Or Abel. Abel brought tithes. I call it tithes because you look at it, the firstborn of his flock and of their fat to the Lord God in worship. He brought that in worship. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. And you collaborate that with Numbers chapter 18, verse 17. No priest then, during the time of Abel, no priest then to receive consecrated things other than to offer it as a burnt offering to the Lord. According to Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 23. Now look into the life of Abraham. Abraham in worship to the Lord who gave him victory while in war to rescue Lot, his nephew, gave tithe to Melchizedek. I'm going to do a little bit here. He gave tithe to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, or the king of peace, a priest, according to Genesis chapter 14, 18 to 20. I want us to read Hebrew chapter 5, verses 6, and then 10 to 11. I'll be glad if you can have that up here. Hebrew 5, verse 6. Verse 10 to 11. Hallelujah. Do we have it? Okay. As he said also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Let's have verse 10. "Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be altered, saying ye are dull of hearing." It was challenging believers that they are not quick in catching up what God is saying. Now, if we read Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 4, you will see who Melchizedek was. Melchizedek chapter 7 of Hebrew, verses 1 to 4. Let's read that quickly because it has something unique to what you are talking about this morning. Hebrews 7. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the most high God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Next verse. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Next. Without father, take note, Melchizedek was with no father, without mother, without descent, that no genealogy, no ancestry. No, he has no history of his descendant, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. He is made like unto the Son of God. He has no beginning, he has no end, no father, no mother. It is believed that Melchizedek was Jesus who manifested in the Old Testament. In theology, they call that theophany. He revealed himself as an angel or as a priest. He became man in order to minister to man. Hallelujah. Many believe Melchizedek was Christ in the Old Testament. Christ is high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Take note. I want us to patiently understand this part of the scripture. Jesus Christ was made the high priest not according to the priesthood of Aaron, because that was the Old Testament law. But he was made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who had no father, no mother, no beginning, no end. He is the priest, high priest forever and ever and ever. And is made like unto the Son of God. That was Jesus. Hallelujah. So Abraham gave his tithe to Melchizedek. He gave his tithe to Melchizedek. Say, Jesus in the Old Testament. Nobody preached that to him. Or the Spirit of the Lord revealed that to him. So, tithing is not a matter of Old Testament law. Tithing predates Old Testament law. Jacob would have given his tithes to God as a burnt offering. Only in the modern world are we thinking of tithe in terms of currency. Back then, it was farm products or livestock. Jacob built an altar unto God to worship and sacrifice a burnt offering, according to Genesis chapter 35, verses 5 to 7 and 9 to 12. You know the story very well. When Jacob was running away from his dear brother, Esau, and he came to a certain place, he was tired, Bethel, and he rested, he slept, he saw God showed himself in that dream. And he woke up and said, God is in this place, and I do not know. Wow. And he made a vow, Lord, if you go with me in this journey, as I'm going all alone, and you bring me back to this same land, this same place, this same rock, the stones that I use as a pillow shall be set up as the house of God, Bethel. And he went, he came back, now he built an altar in Bethel. Now that would have been like saying, oh God, this is my vow, this is my tithe unto you. Though it wasn't mentioned tithe. These are people that were moving according to the Spirit of God. There was no law telling them you must pay tithes. Hallelujah. It is important to know that Jacob vowed to build a house of God in Bethel when he first encountered God. Where he first encountered God. While returning, while running away from Esau, his brother. Years later, on his return to Bethel, house of God, Jacob built an altar unto the Lord God who had heard his vows. Hallelujah. Now let's see tithing instituted as part of Mosaic law. God now, during the time of Moses, now instituted this law and integrated tithing into that law. It became a law that every Jew, everyone, all the Israelites were required to pay tithe. According to the law given to Moses by God, an Israelite was required to give one-tenth of all that comes into his possession. I quote from the passage, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Leviticus 27, verse 30. This was God's stipulated way to bless his obedient children. For he is a multiplier of whatever is given to him. God multiplies back whatever is given to him. Hallelujah. Now let me quickly say this, that there were three kinds of tithes given in the Old Testament. There were three kinds of tithes required of the children of Israel according to Mosaic law. These are, number one, the first regular tithe, which I will call tithes for priesthood. According to Deuteronomy chapter 27, 30 to 34, you will see there. Now, this is a requirement that God expects. He expects the children of Israel to bring them yearly. This was done yearly. This was given to support the Levites, who were not given any inheritance among their brethren. Let's read Numbers 18, verse 21 and 24. Can we have that, please? Numbers 18, 21 and 24. Quickly, please. All right. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tents in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 24. But the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. So this tithe is simply to help the Levites who were not given, you know, property, no landed property, nothing, you know, among their brethren. So that is their inheritance. The second type of tithe is known as the festival tithe. Now, this second tithe is to be given every 3 years. And this is done when the children of Israel come to Jerusalem for fellowship, according to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5 to 7. Deuteronomy chapter 14, 22 to 27. And number three, the third type of tithe, was also to be given to in the third year. This was a tithe that I refer to of sin in the scripture, you know, known as alms given for the poor and the needy. This tithe was to support the needy and the poor. All three kinds of tithe are to be brought into the temple, and its administration must be by the priests. The second and the third tithe was instituted to teach the children of Israel the need to give beyond the regular tithes. God referenced to this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, as having been robbed or deprived of the tithe to care for the poor and the needy. He said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, if I will not open the windows of heaven, and on, Malachi 3:10, we read that. God's blessings follows the obedience. God's blessing follows the obedient. Now, Deuteronomy 26:12, Deuteronomy 14:28-29. No time to make that reference or to read it. Just write it down. Now, let's see tithing in the New Testament. I want us to read Matthew 23:23. That is what, you know, a lot of people make reference to and say, no, Jesus did not say pay tithes. The early church did not say bring tithes. But you will see what the scripture says. Matthew 23:23. Do we have it? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now they left what? They left the weightier matter, the law, judgment, and mercy, and faith. But they were doing what? They were paying the tithe of meat, anise, and cumin. In one word, they were paying tithe on vegetables. They were so meticulous that they would pay tithe on, you know, vegetable when they, you know, harvest their vegetable. Maybe they sold $10 of it. They will make sure that $1 is given to God. And they pride themselves about that. You see the Pharisee in the temple say, I pay my tithes regularly. And I fast twice a week. Now Jesus said, look, you are hypocrites. You are paying tithes, good. You are fasting, good. But you have neglected the law. You have neglected mercy, judgment, and faith. These you ought to have, you know, been doing. That is, paying your tithe. And whatever you are doing, you're supposed to continue doing that. And do not leave these ones undone. Don't leave the law, judgment, mercy, faith undone. You don't leave one for the other. You don't pride yourself in one, and then you neglect the most important, which is judgment, making sure that people are, you know, they are given the right judgment. They are, you know, they are helped in the court of law. You know, the poor are not oppressed. The needy, their needs are met, and on and on. You ought to have upheld these ones that are more important, at the same time, keeping what you are bragging about. So, Jesus never condemned tithing, but rather, he condemned the Pharisees for doing that, bragging on it, and then leaving other important matters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me quickly read this. Although tithe was mentioned less in the New Testament and in the early church, nevertheless, that does not make it of less importance. Tithing was never instituted to bring us under the law, but to get blessings to the children of God. One major reference of those opposing tithing today is that it belongs to the Old Testament law. And since we are not under grace, that is the New Testament, the law is done away with. Believers are not required to tithe. Jesus said he came not to abolish the moral law, but to fulfill it. Hallelujah. We are believers. We as believers are to establish what is fulfilled. Matthew 5, 15 to 17. Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. What Jesus came to abolish was the ceremonial law. The aspect of the law that was abolished by the death of Jesus Christ is the ceremonial law. All the temple sacrifices, all the regulatory law. Jesus compliments the Pharisees for tithing, but woe to them for neglecting justice, love of God. Now, I want to quickly give seven statements that we see from here that in the New Testament, God is expecting believers. We see what tithing is not all about in the New Testament and what it is or what we are expected to do. Number one, tithing is not a prescription for salvation, but a description of your heart. Tithing is not a prescription for salvation. Oh, I tithe, so that is an open door, I'm saved, I'm a child of God. No, you are not tithing in order to be saved. It's not a prescription for salvation. The Pharisees were priding themselves on that. No, that's not what brings salvation. It's just a description of your heart. The kind of person you are. Are you appreciative? Do you appreciate God? Do you worship God with everything, all your substance? Do you see that all that you are and all that you have belong to God? And that you can, in honor to God, give him back a tenth of what he has given you. Number two, tithing is not an end in itself, but it is in fact the foundation for Christian giving. Tithing is just the beginning. It's not just, oh, I pay tithe, oh, that's all. No, it's just the beginning of Christian giving. And it's the one that God expects you, you know, it's just like in Nigeria, I came from the middle south. Well, there's a place called Benderden. It's now Edo State. But then I married from the southwestern part of Nigeria. We used to have this kind of proverbs. Or let me put it this way so that we understand. A mother gave a bean cake to the child. And immediately, she gave that bean cake to the child. And the mother wanted to test the heart of this child. Say, hey, can you give me a little out of that? Can I have a little out of that bean cake? And the child, puts that back. I have seen that happen again and again when I was growing up. A child that is selfish, right there after giving him or her something, he takes, he holds, it's mine, she's not ready to share. She puts that bean cake right there at the back, and not knowing that there is a goat coming behind. And that goat gets right there, it's an opportunity. It's just like saying, goat, come and have this. Now she's holding it back from the mother, but is giving it unconsciously, all right, to goat. And then the ghost snatched this, and then he started crying. Sometimes that is how we behave. God gave us everything, gave us the job, strength to walk, gave us blessings, everything you can think about. And then we say, God, you know what? You understand everything, right? You understand everything. I'll see you next month. This month, I want to borrow it. It's just like that child who put everything at the back. May God help us in Jesus' name. There are a lot of scriptures. I don't know because of our time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, can we quickly read that? We also have 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 to 3. We have 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 to 8. Okay? Which one have? Okay. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Though that is a broad one. It's not just saying tight then. It's talking about what I will mention briefly later on. Now, you have to propose to give your tithe. You must see that it's God's, God owns you and he owns what you have. Number three, tithing is not keeping Old Testament laws, but honoring and worshiping God from a free heart, the one who originally owns everything, including our very lives. Psalm 24 verse 1 tells us. Exodus 19:5. Deuteronomy 10:14. Hallelujah. Number four. Tithing is one of the secrets of giving that unlocks God's flow of blessing to the obedient. Malachi 3:10 we read. God said, try me with this. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you don't have enough room to gather them. The next verse says, and I will rebuke devourer on your behalf. I will speak to those in that divorce. Do not go any further in the life of this one because they have obeyed my word. Hallelujah. Five. Abraham, before the law was instituted, gave his tithe to Melchizedek, king of Salem. Let me quote, that is the king of peace and a priest of the Most High, a type of Christ, according to Hebrews 7:1-4. Hebrews 7:1-4. I don't think we read that. Let's read that. Hebrews 7:1-4. I think we read it. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Next. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Next. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Next. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave tenth of the spoil. Hallelujah. The lesser receive blessings from the greater one. Abraham received blessing from Melchizedek. That is what Hebrews 7:7 says. Now, believers in Christ, please pay attention now. Now, believers in Christ pay tithes to the highest one, Jesus Christ, who lives forever as our high priest. I need to emphasize something here. The reason why we are not, if you are believers paying tithe today, we are not following Old Testament. It's not keeping Old Testament law. I've made it clear that the paying of tithe happened before the institution of the Mosaic law. And though tithing was integrated into it by God, but Abraham already paid tithe, Isaac paid tithe, and we can see others who brought out of, you know, what God has given them as a sacrifice on the altar unto God before the law was ever instituted. And then I want us to look at this passage very well, Hebrews chapter 7. That is the key. Melchizedek that received tithe from Abraham, that was Jesus in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, even before Jesus came, in the book of Psalms, there was the prophecy that God is making Jesus, you know, the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. One would have thought it should be after the order of Aaron, because Aaron was the priest in the Old Testament who kept all the laws. I mean, when it comes to the temple thing, you know, the lineage of Aaron kept all that in the temple. But God, in order to let us know his plan and his heart, you know, he's not dwelling with the Old Testament law or rituals in the temple. And since everything, you know, everything in the temple, the sacrifice, the ceremonial law, everything has gone, done away with, by the coming of Jesus and the one sacrifice that he made. And after that sacrifice, he is now made King of Kings and the high priest for every believer. He is there in heaven interceding for us as the high priest that lives forever and ever and ever. And if Jesus was the Melchizedek in the Old Testament that received tithe from Abraham, and he is now made high priest in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron, then that is a bypass. That is jumping the Old Testament regulations to say that this priesthood is not according to Aaron's priesthood. This is according to Melchizedek. Hallelujah. And that's what I want us to see from the scripture here. That is the interpretation. So, we are not keeping Old Testament law by paying tithe. Rather, we are following God's guidance in opening the door of blessing into our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, believers in Christ pay tithe to the highest one, Jesus Christ, who lives forever as our high priest. Abraham represented Israel, both physical and spiritual Israel, when he paid his tithe to Melchizedek. There is now a new priestly order, a new high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not the order or lineage of Aaron, which has been established in the past. You read that, take time to read Hebrews 7, 17 and 21. And he came from the tribe, that is, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, not from the tribe of the Levites. Do you get it? Jesus, it didn't come from the tribe of the Levite. That would have been a continuation of the earthly Mosaic priesthood. But no, it came from the tribe of Judah. That was a different thing entirely. And there was no link with the Aaronic priesthood. This is in order according to Melchizedek. He lives forever and ever. Hallelujah. Therefore, believers in obedience and worship to God should present their tithe to the ever-living high priest through the church, from whom all blessings flow, being the head of the church, according to Ephesians 1, 22-23. Number 6, tithes are to be paid into the local church where you receive your spiritual nourishment. It's not that, today let me pay it to Amalgamated Church. And then next month, I will pay it to the Three Dimension Church. all this time, oh God, okay, I think there are some mission work going on. Let me do it. I'm going to use my tithe and help those who are, you know, in need. No, we can do that in another way. The way God stipulated tithing, you must bring the whole tithe to a place where you receive your spiritual nourishment for you to get the blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Number 7, tithe today, far beyond the whole Testament, please listen, far beyond the whole Testament usage, is being used, tithe today is being used for administrative purposes like church properties, mortgages, utilities, salaries, equipment, and on and on. And of course, apart from administrative purposes I've just mentioned, others, helping the needy, helping the widows, the aged, to support other churches. Do you know this? Mount Zion is helping so many churches, so many mission feeds, and so many missionaries on the field. Missions, local and foreign. That is what tithe is being used for today. Today. And God still stand by his word. Bring all the tithe to the storehouse. The storehouse is the house of God. Some will say, well, is God using money? Yeah, he uses it. He has appointed in the Old Testament law, he appointed the Levites to administer the tithes on his behalf. Apart from the Levites, the one that belongs to them, they are to administer the tithe to help the poor, the needy, the sick, and as many areas they deem fit. And in the New Testament, you will see that the apostles also, when it comes to money, financial thing, the Bible says the believers in the early church, men and women, those who were touched and they saw what God was doing, many sold their land, they brought the money to the apostles' feet, and distribution were made according to the needs of the people. That is the purpose. Take care of the needy. Help the weak. There are churches that are weak, that need help. There are missionaries who are right there outside doing, you know, they don't have any support. That is the purpose of your tithe. You cannot go, your money can go. And when you support those who are going, by supporting your local church, you are part of the blessing. And when we get there and God is distributing the reward, you'll be surprised what your money have done. Amen. Amen. Before I conclude, I want to quickly say something, and that is in the area of offering. What is offering? Offering is different from tithe. Tithe is a stipulated amount, a tenth part of your income. Or if you're a business person, the gain, your profit after your expenses. All right? That is tithe. But offering is the scripture we read earlier on. You propose in your heart, I'm coming to the church today. Okay, I'm going to give this much. Plan it. Propose it, do it cheerfully, do it heartily, and then present it. And God will bless you for doing that. So offering is a free will offering from your heart. You can choose to give as many offerings to so many places, so many organizations or people who have a problem, or, you know, but you can't do tithe like that. Tithe is for the place where you worship. Offering, come to the service, you give your offering. You can as well, you may plan to give offering to maybe what is going on now. We have Hurricane Harvey. You might choose to give an offering to Red Cross, Salvation Army, and most of these organizations to help them. It's an offering. Hallelujah. Now, let me quickly run through these 6 points. How do we give? I'm going to quickly run. How do we give today? Number one, give spiritually. Give spiritually. That means first give yourself to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:5. Then number 2, that is under that, give spiritually. After you have given yourself to the Lord, then you can give your substance reverently. You have to give spiritually. Number 2, give personally. Give personally. That is individually. Every Christian must give. 2 Corinthians 9:7, 1 Corinthians 16:2, 1 Peter 4:10. None can be too poor to give. 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. Mark 12:41-42. Number 3, give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7. Give, that is, under that, give voluntarily, not compulsory. It's not a compulsory thing. Give voluntarily. Give readily, not reluctantly. Give with happiness, not grudgingly. So that is under give cheerfully. Number 4, give proportionally. Give proportionally. 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Number 5, give sacrificially. That is, give generously. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 to 3. 2 Corinthians 9, 5. John 12, 12. Hallelujah. There are so many scriptures there. Acts 2, 44, 45. Last there, give consistently. Give consistently. That means give regularly, give progressively, give in austerity, and give in prosperity. Amen. Amen. In conclusion, tithing did not begin with Old Testament law, and neither did it end with the Old Testament law. Abraham represents the whole. Israel paid tithes to Melchizedek, a type of Christ. Believers now in the New Testament pay tithes to Christ through the church, the eternal and changeless high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. I just want us, can you please rise up? I know there could be people who are struggling in the area of finance. There are people who are struggling in the area of maybe, I'm looking for a job. God, I'm just trusting you for the right job. You know, I want to use this moment to connect with God and call the blessing down upon your life. Amen. Amen. This month of September, struggling will be over. The amen is too weak. I said this month of September, the struggling will be over. God is going to break through in your finance, in every aspect, in the name of Jesus. And those who are looking for a job, you are going to come back and testify. I had one testimony as I was coming in this morning. I know somebody was looking for a job and he just told me, I think maybe you can contact these people. He just told me, you know what? I got one. I'm going to resume soon. Hallelujah. God is going to connect you with the right job. God is going to be out there for you. He is the CEO of all the CEOs. He's going to lead you to the right person, to the right place. You're going to get connected and get your job. Hallelujah. We're also going to pray for the finance of the church. Shall we just raise up our hands and say, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for creating me. Lord, thank you for placing me where you placed me at a time like this. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for what you have deposited in my pocket, in my life. Thank you for the job I'm doing. Thank you, Lord, for money that you have sent on my way. Thank you, Lord, you have connected me with the right business, the right work. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. You are making a way for me where there's no way. I see you as my source, not the word. I see you as my source, not even the work I'm doing. You're only using that. It's just one of the ways. You are the source. Your work may be a source, but God is the source of your blessings, your blessing, financial breakthrough. So just thank God this moment. If you are looking for a job, just say, Lord, thank you. I get my job as prophesied this month of September. Oh, Lord, struggling is over. I struggle no more. This month of September is the time for my breakthrough. It's the month for my breakthrough. I'm going to get it. And we prophesy more Zion, struggle no more. Every finance, every resources we need. Oh, yes, to move forward. To bless people of God, to bless missionaries, to do the administrative job, to purchase the right building, the right place of worship, to possess all those things, to purchase those things needed for worship, for service, to bless the people of God. We have them. We are not going to be limited any longer. Oh, yes, Mount Zion will no longer be limited. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, honor to your name, O God. Oh, yes, Lord, if you are struggling with finance, I just want you to raise up your right hand, just the way you are, raise up your right hand. I'm going to prophesy into that hand this morning. I'm going to ask the Lord, you know what, this morning, after my prayer, I was just waiting on the Lord, I was just waiting, and I heard a word, I wasn't sleeping, I heard a word clearly in my spirit, that word says, qualified. Qualified. I don't know where they said you are disqualified, or you can't have it, or you are not suitable for that job, or you cannot make it. God is saying you are qualified. God says you are qualified. I heard it and I said, Lord, thank you. God had a word for you. Where you felt you are not fitting, God is saying you are qualified. Hallelujah. God has seen those hands this morning. And if you are looking for a job, join the hands. Raise up your hand. You are looking for a job. I'm going to prophesy into that hand. God is going to do something extraordinary in your life this day. There's going to be testimony. The church will hear that testimony. This very month of September, God is going to make you qualified to walk in high places. Qualified to walk with your shoulders high. Qualified not as a beggar, but one that blesses others. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you because you still remain the same forever and ever. You are the ever-living high priest, making intercession for us. Lord, I stand as your son. Lord, this very hour. Lord, I pray and I prophesy into the lives of your children. Father, as many, oh God, that are going through financial situation, financial crisis. Oh, Lord, you are saying this morning they are qualified to have the best. Lord, I prophesy your word into their life. In the mighty name of Jesus, God begin to make an entrance into your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree from now on, no more poverty, no more lack. In the name of Jesus, as you obey the Lord, as you link with God, as you connect with him, God begin to connect you with your miracle. In the mighty name of Jesus, where you have been to and they told you are not qualified. Oh, we don't need anybody here. And you are looking for the right job. I prophesy God will make a way for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree that every door be open unto you. You have the best job. You are qualified to have the best. You are qualified to have the kind of job that will not take you away from God. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is well with you. It is well with your going out this day, this week, this month. You are going to have a testimony to share before the people of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Ancient of Days. I prophesy that from now on, God begin to make you to walk under hope in heaven. Thank you, Jehovah God. Father, Mount Zion is before you. This is the season. This is the season, oh God. The season of harvest. The season of breakthrough. The season, oh God. Father, you showed it. Father, men are released from their bondage. They are delivered from the captivity. They are delivered from the power that held them down. They are delivered from the control of the evil powers. Lord, this is the season. This is the month. Father, touch your people. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let Mount Zion begin to experience your move. Blessed be the name of God. Financially, we enter into season of abundance. Spiritually, we enter into season of abundance. Thank you, Father. Glory, honor to your name, O God. Hallelujah. Jesus, majestic name we are praying. Amen. Hallelujah.